It's always good to be in God's house, but it's always better to be here with brothers and sisters, with the church family that we know, that we love. What a blessing. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 7? And as you find Romans chapter 7, let me just make a couple of statements and clarifications. Did you know that the Bible, and if you want to look this up, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible clearly affirms the equality of men and women. Did you know that? God never said that there was one creation that was greater than the other, except mankind, greater than all the animals of the earth. But God's Word also very plainly tells us, dear friends, that God has designed that spiritual leadership in the home should be squarely placed on the man. Did you know that? Not because he's greater, not because he's better, but he said that there's got to be a spiritual leader, and in Colossians chapter 3, he tells us that. And I know that there are some people who say, well, why can't both of us just be the leader? Let me tell you why. In the end, it all comes down to a very simple and fundamental truth. Families need leaders. Amen? No, I said families need leaders. If you don't believe that, let me ask you, why are you reading God's Word? Families need leaders. And if the household is going to function, and if a household is going to run smoothly and efficiently, let me just put it this way. The buck has to stop somewhere. Amen? And if nobody is the leader, nobody takes responsibility, and God's Word tells us, gentlemen, that we as the men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't many a wife, woman, mother that has not been the spiritual stopgap for many families because the men won't lead. Thank you for those who will. But the responsibility before God is that men are supposed to lead and wives to follow. So today, I'm speaking to everyone. I'm speaking to those who are single. I'm speaking to those who are married. I'm speaking to those who may have lost a spouse and are widowed. I'm speaking to the women and I'm speaking to the men. But men especially, I want you to hear this morning, because we are entering into a time in our season in the church where I'm going to be sharing and teaching about spiritual warfare for some time. I want you to know this. No one is perfect. There was only one perfect man who ever lived. His name was Christ Jesus. He is, he was, and will always be God's Son, but he is also our Lord and our Savior. Other than he, there is no one who does it right every time. Ladies, gentlemen, no one does it right every time or all the time. But because we are not perfect does not mean that we are failures, nor that we cannot have a godly and a profoundly good effect on our families, even when we don't do it right every time. Are you listening? If we're waiting for perfection, it's never going to happen. But know this, yes, we strive for perfection. And with God's help, we overcome our imperfections and we fight for what is right. I'm going to tell you that Satan is working really hard to steal your family. He is working very hard to steal your love and your life and your peace and your joy in Christ. Now, I know this, not every man considers himself a warrior. Not every man considers himself a fighter. But that being said, I believe with all my heart that there is not a man in this world that truly loves his family that would not willingly lay down his life for them. I pray you understand what I'm saying. Because I believe that every man wants to be a champion. I believe that every man wants to be that knight in shining armor, if you will. And I'm going to tell you that I believe with all my heart, because God's Word tells me this, that every husband, every daddy should be and should want to be a spiritual leader. With that being said, I want to move to this. But what do you do if you've messed up? What do you do if you haven't been? I think that there are a lot of men who look at their life and they look where they are and they say, you know what, I missed my chance. I messed up my opportunity. And there are a lot of men and there are a lot of women, a lot of people that are convinced that it's just too late for them. Let me tell you what that is. Are you listening to me? Are you with me? Back row? Front row? Are you with me? Do you know what that's called when somebody thinks that it's too late, that they can't ever get back? That's called a lie. That is called a lie of Satan, because he wants to overwhelm you with shame and with guilt, and he wants to overwhelm you with the things of the world so that you don't think about what could be and what should be. There are a lot of people that are convinced that they think, you know, I can't do anything now, it's just too late. That is a tactic of Satan to get men and women to quit and to give up. How many of you remember the name, and I'm just going to use this, Sergeant York? Anybody? So most of us older folks. Sergeant York. I love the story. It was such an incredible, wonderful story that a 1941 Gary Cooper film commemorated it from a true story. But this man at first would not fight for his country. He would not fight for his family. But when his heart got right and his mind became right, he became one of the most decorated American soldiers of all World War I. And a movie was made about his life. Let me tell you this. This is just one of many hundreds of thousands of stories to remind us that it's never too late to have some effect. Amen? If you think that you could never do anything ever again, remember this. God is sovereign. Satan is falling. God has the victory. Who are you going to listen to? God the Father or Satan the defeated? Because I know that he's going down and all he wants to do is take people with him. God has used many, many men and women as heroes of the faith, even those who came late into the game. So I want to tell you, no matter where you are, if you're young, God bless you. You've got, we pray and hope you've got lots of time. If you're old like some of the others of us, or if you're somewhere in the middle, if you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, or if you're just single contemplating the time of your marriage, I want you to know this. You can improve the fight for your family right here, right now, today, before you leave this place. You can make a commitment that will impact not just your life, but the life of those who are or who will and might be a part of your family. The Bible tells us how Satan works. It's very clear. The Bible tells us how Satan works. Very, very clear. With that understanding, dear friends, we should know how to respond to his tactics. And with that information, we have no reason that we cannot win. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read Romans chapter 7, and we're going to read it twice, but it's going to be from two different versions. So Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, I want you to see if this doesn't fit into your situation, at least at times. God's Word says that Paul is writing, and he said, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. Now he finishes that up in verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God. Now, if you're like me, you look at this and you go, I get some of that, and some of that's so convoluted, I'm beginning to wonder exactly what he was talking about. We're going to read together in a moment. We're going to straighten some of it out. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, right here, I'm going, oh God, I want to do what you tell me to do. And right here, and right here, and right here, and right here, I foul it all up. That's what he's saying. My heart wants to do right, but my brain is messed up. My heart desires, but my earthly mind says, I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I already know you're included in this. Do you know why? Because the Bible says that if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. With the information we get from God's Word, there is no reason not to win. No reason. We should have victory in spiritual warfare. So today we're going to talk about how to start. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for your word because it reminds us, Lord, that not only do we have struggle with sin, so do the folks that you had writing your word. Those people we call heroes of the faith, they struggle too. So Lord, would you help us to do as they did, to have the victory because we turned it over to you. We ask God for your grace and strength to understand. And Father, that we would see ourselves for who and what we are and for our great need of the strength of Christ. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? How do we start? How do we get away from where we don't want to be and to the place we want to be in Christ? We start by first and foremost by fighting the greatest threat to our walk with God. Do you know what your greatest threat to the walk with God is? Your walk with God? It's not Satan. I know our first one, oh, I thought Satan was the biggest enemy. Listen, the greatest threat to your walk with God is your own sinful nature. The threat that is our own sinful nature. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen, when we say, oh, man is innately good, let me tell you what, that's wrong. We're innately evil. We are innately selfish. We are innately wanting what we want, how we want, when we want, where we want. And we're just selfish people. Even the great men of the Bible had their difficulties, and we could go through and talk about every single one of them if you want to. But you remember David, the man that was after God's own heart? He fell to a lustful heart. Moses, one of the most humble men that you could ever think about, he missed God's promised land because of a very prideful act. Solomon, the wisest man in the world that should have known not to turn to sin, turned away from God and lost his kingdom. I mean, some of these are just duh moments. And you go, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because of the deceitful heart of mankind. Do not underestimate what sin's ability will do to you. Don't underestimate its ability to defeat you. I want to read again Romans chapter 7, but I want you to listen to it from a little more updated version. I think it'll help you here. Listen carefully. He said, I don't understand why I act the way I do. I don't do the good I want to do, and I do the evil that I hate. And if I don't want to do what I do, that means I agree that the law is good. Now that makes sense, right? But I am not really the one doing evil. It is the sin living in me that does it. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean that nothing good lives in the part of me that's not spiritual. I want to do what's good, but I don't do it. So if I do what I don't want to do, then I am not really the one doing it. It is the sin living in me that does it. So I have learned this rule. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. And isn't that the truth? Why does that remind me of that guy we used to call Flip Wilson? He said, the devil made me do it. Listen, the devil can't make you do anything. Amen? Now, he can lead you and he can tempt you, but he can't make you do anything. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Here's the truth. Satan does know your weakness. He watches you enough to know where your weakness is, and he is always on the prowl. He is always watching, looking for a way to trip you up, looking for a way to catch you off guard. Isn't that what 1 Peter 5:8 says? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now notice this, it doesn't say just seeking somebody to trip, but to devour. He wants your life. He wants you dead. In other words, God's word is telling us, always be on your guard. Don't let pride put you at risk of being unready. Don't say, I've got this. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I read the Bible every day, so I'm immune to sin. Well, what foolishness. Be very, very careful to yield to God and to get His help, because He is the only strength you have when it comes to overcoming sin. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what this reminds us? It's better to be humble than to fall into a pit of pride. Amen? Ask God for help. Just about the time you think you've got it, something else will hit you from behind. Don't ask me how I know. I know. Be very careful. Because as soon as we say, I've got this, Satan is going to make sure that you're hit from a direction that you are absolutely unexpecting. Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 16, just following that verse, just one verse later, he says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, he's happy. You want to be happy? Listen, that's what everybody's seeking. They say, I want fame or riches or fortune or whatever it happens to be, but it's all because they want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to be fulfilled? Then the Scripture says that you should trust in the Lord. The second thing that you can do to get started on your spiritual direction is to know your own area of weakness and guard against it. Dear friends, if you know you've got an Achilles heel, by all means, protect it. One more time, Satan cannot make you do anything. I can still see that comedian say, the devil made me do it. The devil is unable to make you, but I'm going to tell you, he can sure entice you. There's an old saying that says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But somebody says, no, but you can put an awful lot of salt in his oats. I'm going to tell you, Satan will salt you until you feel like you just have to drink from the wrong fountain. Amen? Be real careful. Sin is in our heart. But we're the one who allows it to be there and to stay there. And He will use every circumstance, good or bad. He will use persuasion, pleasant or unpleasant, and suggestions at every point of weakness to try to get you to fall, to try to get me to fall. He will use anything He can to take your mind off what is good. Case in point. Have you ever been praying? Guys, look at me. Have you ever been in prayer, truly seeking the heart of God, and one of the most disgusting things that you'd ever seen in your life comes back to your memory while you're trying to pray? Look at me, guys. Do you think that's by accident? Satan will use any way he can to keep you from seeking the heart of God. And he knows where your weakness is. Did you know that Jesus Christ Himself was greatly tempted? Go look in Matthew chapter 4 about the temptation of Christ in the desert and in the wilderness. But Satan couldn't defeat Him. Amen? Jesus won that battle again. But the reason that Satan could not defeat Jesus was because Satan did not have anything inherent in Jesus Christ to work with. With us, He knows where our weakness is. He knows where our wants are. He knows where we have things that we want to say, to have and to hold that aren't ours or we don't just own. You see, there was no sin living in the heart of Jesus, so Satan couldn't latch onto it. He tried. He tried, didn't he? Jesus didn't lust for power or position. And when Satan said, "Oh, if you'll just bow down, I'll give you all of this and may everybody." Jesus didn't lust for that power. Jesus wasn't motivated by materialism when He said, "Oh, I will give you everything that you can see here." He owned it already. Jesus wasn't even concerned with saving His own life. His single, unwavering, totally focused desire was to do the will of His Heavenly Father. Satan couldn't get a hold on anything in Christ's life. And I'm going to tell you this, Satan knows the areas of sin that you have not mastered. He knows the places that you're weak. If it's materialism, there's going to be plenty of opportunity with money, stuff, things. If it's sex, the temptations are going to be often and common. If it's gossip, there will be no lack of people sharing the latest tidbit for you to enjoy. It's just the way Satan is. He knows where your weakness is. But there is a way to overcome that. There is a way to overcome what he throws at us. And the way to overcome any area in which we are tempted is to first recognize our weakness and then turn it over to the Lord. Give it to God. Turn to the Lord in dependence and never trust ourselves. Never trust our own heart. Because we already know that our heart is deceitfully wicked. It wants what it wants. And if we will turn it over to the Lord, He will help us to want what's right. If we want victory over sin, the first step is to turn it over to the Lord. Recognize our weakness, turn to the Lord in dependence, and then the next step is to have a game plan for when it happens. Don't just say, "Well, c'est la vie." Don't just say, "Well, that's life," and move on. Listen, you need to have a game plan. In Psalm 119, verse 11, this is a scripture we learned in Vacation Bible School when you were yay high. It says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." Do you remember that scripture? And then Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What did he say was hidden in our hearts? What is a light to our path? What is a lamp to our feet? What is it? You need a game plan. Every day, for those who are signed up, the church sends out a scripture reading, a chapter of reading, every day. And you don't even have to read it. All you have to do is push the button and listen to it. I wonder how many times even those of us who are signed up get the text message and we say, oh, I'm too busy right now. We flick it off. And then we don't get back to it. I'm not going to ask, has it ever happened to you? I'm just going to tell you, it's happened to me. We need to be in God's Word. And God's Word tells us that it is His Word that's a lamp to our feet, His Word that's a light to our path. It's His Word that we need to hide in our heart so that we don't sin. So the first thing we need to do, have a game plan, is one, memorize Scripture. How many Scriptures do you know? I'll tell you what, I love our Awana program. How many of you have kids in the Awanas that meet right over here? Let me see your hands. Boy, this size, y'all need to get some more kids. Put them in Awanas. And I tell you what, if you don't have any kids in Awanas, come be a Scripture listener. You'll learn it just by hearing it so many times that it'll come back to you. The Awana program teaches our kids Scripture. 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 If I've said it once, I'm going to say it again. Don't get in a Bible trivia contest with our Awana kids. They'll embarrass you. Memorize Scripture. Saturate your mind with Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, when we're talking about the time that Jesus went to the wilderness and that Satan tempted him, every time Satan tempted him, do you know what Jesus used against him? He didn't say, no, that's wrong. Jesus told him, it is written. It is written. It is written. He used the Word of God, he used the Bible to combat the temptation. We need to be able to recall it. You may not always have your Bible, and if a temptation comes to you to start going, oh, I've got to find something here. It's in there somewhere. Listen, you need to memorize the Scripture. Memorize God's Word. And then pray the precepts of those Scripture back to the Lord, calling for His help, for it to be real in your heart, and that your body would be obedient. So memorize Scripture. The second thing is, develop a daily time with God. I know many of you do this, but if you don't have one, you need to. Meeting God daily, especially in the morning, orients us to Him. I know that it's just one part of your day, but when you get up and the first thing you do is to focus your attention on God, it makes a lot of difference. Orient your heart to Christ. I know that we can get off during the day. It's easy to do. But it's sure a whole lot easier when you start off in the right direction. Amen? Somebody said it this way. There was never a great saint of God that they didn't have great time with God. You want to be a great saint with God? You spend time with God. There's a third thing. Create an environment of godliness in your home. Men, start with you. It starts with us. The music we listen to, the friends we hang out with, the television that we watch, the literature we read. We need to be aware and be armed against the things that Satan wants to put in our minds. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Anybody say amen? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many times have we said, I'm not going there, I'm not going there. Oh my goodness, why did I go there? Watch and pray. Create an environment of godliness in your home where the temptations are not brought on by the things in your house. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you might be able to bear it." Dear friends, don't put the temptation in your home, but remember this, when you are tempted, God wants you to have victory over it, and He will provide your escape. Take it. And that brings us to our last point under the game plan, and that is, when you're tempted, stand immediately against it. Immediately against it. The longer we debate temptation, the more likely we're going to lose. Do you remember the story of Joseph? Do you remember the story of Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He went to Egypt, and he rose to the top because he was blessed by God. Potiphar's wife decided she liked this young man. He was powerful. He was decisive. Must have been good looking. And she said, "You know what? I believe I'm just going to have this slave." What did Joseph do when she said, "I want you to come with me"? Did he say, "Let's just sit down on the couch and talk about it"? Wrong answer. He said, "Well, you know, let's think about it." Wrong answer. You know what he did? He ran. So much so that she grabbed at his coat and tore his coat. Used that material torn from his coat as a witness against him, even though he ran. We would be in so much better shape spiritually, folks, if we would learn to run at the first sight of temptation. Run from the temptation and run back to God. So there are some keys to victory for your family. The first and foremost is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, fixed on God. I love what Matthew 6 says. Verse 22 and following says this, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" In other words, folks, you've got to fill your heart, you've got to fill your mind, you've got to fill your thoughts with the good things, the light of God, not the darkness of this world. And when you fill it up with the light of God, Scripture says that you have the strength. If your focus is right, in other words, you're going to make it. And if your focus is wrong, boy, are you in trouble. Mom and Dad, let your family know some things. Are you ready? I have them in the outline. You can't forget them. Let your family know that first and foremost that you love them. Amen. When's the last time you told your family that you love them? Second thing, you let your family know that you're not perfect and that you're fallible. And the third thing you need to do is you tell them that you'll keep looking to God to get better and stronger. Amen? Because God is your strength. Philippians 4:13 says what? Anybody? I can do all things because I'm an American. I can do all things because I am a man. I can do all things because my 401k is built. I can do all things how? Through Christ who gives me strength. Pray with me, won't you? Thank you, God, for strength. Our weakness is so apparent. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to take note of the places where I struggle the most and to keep giving them to you, Lord. Help me, Father, to realize that my heart is weak and my heart is evil and my heart wants what my heart wants. and it's easy to turn in the wrong direction. Forgive me, Father. Help me, Lord, to turn it over to you. God, I pray for the men and women here in this congregation right now, Father. I pray, would you help the men to be godly enough, Lord, to admit where they're wrong and to confess their need for Christ and to confess to their families that they need prayer too, but that their hope is in Jesus. God, help the women here, the mamas, the wives, the future mamas and wives, Lord, to depend on you and to look for a man that will depend on you. We ask, God, that you would help us today to be sober and aware that we have an enemy who wants to tear us down. Help us, God, to stand for what we know to be truth, to stand for Christ.